Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York City, except today I'm in Florida in Punta Verde Beach, hanging out at my sister's house with her and my brother-in-law, watching the Cardinals beat the Brewers. Very exciting. Hopefully the Cardinals are going to the World Series. Yay, yay. And if you're a Brewers fan, I apologize. Old habits die young. Die hard. So anyway, we're watching the life, the change, the seasons change. What this show does every week is we talk about the planetary aspects in the sky, and we talk about how they show up in the world and how they feel energetically. And one of the things that we look at is what's going on in the heavens and how you can use it and work with it productively in your own way. So this is the weekly weather, and we discuss that vision of using astrology productively in a helpful, productive manner. Recently, was talking to someone, and we were talking about, you know, how do you know what you're doing in terms of astrology and where you are and figuring out things. So as we look at the planets above us, we really get a feel for what's going on with them. And we also get an idea of what we're going to be working with in the week ahead. So the goal of the show is to kind of talk to you about that energy and what it feels like, and then for you to kind of go, okay, great, let me figure out how to work with it. So in our week ahead, we do have a couple of really interesting things taking place, and I think you're going to find it kind of fun. So the idea behind astrology is that the heavens represent for us the direction of the world, and they give us a great deal of information and ideas and kind of, you know, experiences of what we're here to do. And they show us how to work with things and above and below us as we're sitting here working hard and figuring out our lives and trying to kind of adjust to things. The heavens above are dancing, and they're talking to us, and they're saying to you, yeah, look at this. Isn't this cool? And you kind of go, yeah, it kind of is cool, but, man, that's a lot of stuff to kind of pay attention to. And as we watch the heavens above, we really get a different feel for what's going on. So this week, the sun is moving through the signs of Gemini. It's in Gemini today, finishes up with Gemini, and then it goes into Cancer on the 17th. And then it's going to go into Leo on the 20th, and then it'll be in Virgo at the end of the week on the 22nd. So we watch the sun as it goes through its signs in the heavens. And it gives us a great bit of information about what's going on. And so what we're going to do is kind of cover the week ahead and what you can expect. So one of the big things that I've been talking to people about is there's a lot of ending energy going on in the heavens. And the ending energy is really tied to coming up with a new vision for yourself. Saturn's in the sign of Libra. And what Libra is it's the fall. It's the ending time of the year. At least the ending time of the growing season for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere. And it says to us, remember, note the things that are ending in your life. Note the things that are changing and shifting. Come up with a new vision. Come up with a new dream. Kind of pay attention to what's important to you, but also come up with a new idea. And one of the things I've been writing about in my column in the last couple of weeks is paying attention to where Saturn is in the sky. And a reader wrote a couple weeks ago and said, hey, you know, you're saying this, but is this the first time this has ever happened? And it's like, no, but when Saturn goes through a patch of heaven that he doesn't touch again for 29 years, it's a really big, important time. So all the planets between the degrees of 17 and 22 are being woken up by Saturn and being asked to make decisions about the structure of the life you want to continue to pursue, and where do you want to build things. So as Saturn's at that degree in this next couple of weeks, he kind of asks us to reflect. He's also asking us to go back to 1981. Now the sun this week goes 7 degrees, starting at degree 23, and it grows all the way to 30, and the sun goes into Scorpio next Sunday, so we're going to have a change of the sun, meaning we're going from the beginning part of fall into the fixed sign portion when the sun enters Scorpio. So we have the sun going through the last degrees of Libra. And as it does that, it's going to come to trine Neptune. So this is a very big week for either really being informed of your dreams or being able to pursue your dreams or being offered your dreams, or for a dream that you've been working on to kind of dissolve in front of you and fall apart. Now remember, Neptune goes either way. And his purpose is he always asks us to look at the bigger picture, to look at the dream, to look at the illusion, to look where we've fallen in love or where we've become really disillusioned with something. Because he is all about what's the vision, how is the vision working for you, what are you actually seeing when you work with that vision, and or what are you not seeing, maybe more important because it is Neptune. So as the sun and the planet Juno, because Juno is also at the late degrees of Libra, come to trine Neptune over the course of this next week, they're all going to be speaking about dissolving partnerships, because Juno's partnership, and they're also going to be talking about dissolving the idea of how you've been partnering with someone to come up with a new version of it. Not that you have to get rid of it, but that you have to come up with something a little perhaps more creative, a slightly different idea, a slightly different approach. Now, Venus, of course, has moved into Scorpio, and she's going to be there for the next few weeks. And Venus in Scorpio is very passionate. She has a great deal of information that she wants to share with us. And she also is in charge of quite a few planets in the sky. So the idea is to listen to the inner passion. Listen to the vision that's speaking to your heart. Because that's where we're really focusing this week, as that sun finishes those last degrees of Libra and trines the Neptune. I just taught a wonderful weekend workshop down here in Florida at Amelia Island, and one of the things we were working on as a group was everybody kind of looking at their chart and understanding what their individual missions were and why they were here. And we did that through the vehicle of, you know, learning astrology, which is a great tool to do that with. But one of the observations that was made was that when we're in the process of figuring out who we are, we don't always know it when we're going through it. And in hindsight, we do. This is one of those, this week in particular is one of those weeks where you're going to be getting really clear. And as Saturn moves ever closer to the trine to Neptune, the illusions that you operate your life under, and we all have some of them. We all have the illusion of, you know, we have a dream, we have a vision, we have a hope. Those dreams are going to maybe get a little brighter, a little more sparkly, a little more inspired. It's a great week for dreams. People are going to have amazing dreams this week as that the sun gets closer and closer to Neptune. Interesting partnership offers can come to light this week as Juno gets closer and closer to Neptune. So it's a great week to ask somebody to partner with you or to create something with you. Simultaneously, Jupiter and Pluto are going towards each other, getting closer and closer and closer. And as they do that, they are connecting and forming a grand trine in Earth. And that grand trine in Earth is going to offer them the ability to create and form, especially towards the end of the week when the moon is in Virgo, creating a grand trine in Earth. But as you were looking at that Jupiter and that Saturn coming, that Jupiter and the Pluto coming together, sorry, our job is to really get clear on how we want to work with whatever it is we're trying to create. Because we're really at this major turning point moment. And I know, you know, we kind of run into them. We've been running into a lot of them the last year or so because all these new planets are in new signs. But Jupiter and Pluto are two of the more powerful, and when they work together, they create enormous abundance because Jupiter's about abundance and Pluto's about the underworld. So Jupiter knows where all the diamonds and the gold are buried. So when you're watching them come together and connect, which is what they're doing this year, this winter, they're going to be talking to each other quite a few times, you're in a position of really making manifest, making firm, solid manifestation in your life, the stuff that's part of your dreams. So we have that going on. We have Venus in Scorpio, which is very intense and passionate, and she is ruling the Libra planets. And then she goes to Mars, to answer to him, and Mars goes to Leo, which is the Sun, which goes to Libra, which brings us back to Venus. So she's really kind of the heavenly goddess. Then we have Mercury in Scorpio. Now, Mercury went into Scorpio last week. When Mercury goes, and he's moving really fast, he's going to catch up to Venus this week. He actually catches up to her on, I guess it's next week. He catches up to her on Monday. I thought it was this week. I'm getting old. But he's really tracking with her, and they're within 2 degrees orb, so they're very chatty and having a good time. And they're actually, Mercury really likes hanging out with Venus. She's kind of like his big sister, and she's fun, you know, and she's in a kind of wild mood right now because she's in Scorpio. So we're going to find a lot of people really being very passionate about things, being communicating in a very passionate way, getting excited about things, being passionate about things. And that's all part of that Scorpio energy saying, yeah, we're changing it up. We're getting it ready. We're getting ready to go. Then we also have Uranus getting it back to zero. He's at 1 degrees now, and he's right there stimulating the zeros and the twos in your chart. So he's back waking up last August, a year ago, when those planets were really stimulated for you to be at a crossroads. So whatever the crossroads was in August of 2010 should be up again this week to say to you, well, okay, that was the crossroads. What were the decisions you made? And as the moon hits that south node this week and says to you, oh, wow, what are you doing? And then as it comes to square the node over the next couple days, there's a choice to be made. Now, the moon is in Gemini right now as we speak, and it goes into Cancer, and it is in Cancer through Wednesday night, and then it goes into Leo. Now, the moon in Cancer is a sensitive and emotional moon, and its closing aspect is going to be a square to the Sun. So we're going to lose things or leave things behind on Tuesday and Wednesday as the moon squares the Sun. Things are going to be kind of a little more crabby, cranky, and not maybe as much fun as we would like. And when the moon is in Cancer, we all kind of tend to work a little more emotionally than we might like to. And that's okay. You know, you might be just really feeling your deep emotions this week. And when, of course, whenever the moon enters a sign, or any planet enters a sign right now, it's setting off the last part of the cardinal square. Then the moon goes into Leo on Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, where it's joining Mars. And it also is in a highly creative position as it is following its passion, answering to the Sun, and then back to Venus and Scorpio. So we're having a really big week for each of us to kind of get in touch with our inner vision, our inner passion, what we're trying to accomplish in our lifetime. And I would urge you to take time this week to meditate on it and to kind of sit quietly as the Sun approaches that trine to Neptune. Now, the trine to Neptune is probably the most outstanding aspect this week, because what it says to us is we are really entering the business part of fall. We're going to be entering into the real serious time of it. But that trine to Neptune also happens once a year, and I kind of always think of it as an adjustment time. It's a closing trine right now, meaning that it says to you, go back and think on all the stuff that you started since last February. And how's that been going? Is there anything you want to adjust from that? Anything you want to harvest from the stuff that started, the dreams that started, you started working on about working in a group or being a member of a group in February? That you're having a culmination of that this week, and a questioning and a looking at it and saying, does it make sense? And I think when we are in a week like this, where it is going to be a little melancholy and it is going to be a little, you know, the dreams that didn't come true. Or it's going to be very much about illusion and delusion and the dreams that we really want as that Sun and Saturn come to trine Neptune. Saturn more so over the next few weeks, but the Sun this week. We have this understanding. We have this realization. And, of course, Saturn right behind the Sun says to you, and actually said to you last week, you have to pick. You have to choose. It's an important choice to make because you're at a critical moment in your life. Now, the nodes continue to move backwards. They're at 15 this week, and they move back a degree. And they give us a whole direction. And the south node's in Gemini, suggesting to us that Mercury, the stories that we tell ourselves are very important. And one of the things that I, you know, have been really focusing on for whatever reason lately is the words that are used. When people come for readings, I've really been listening to what they actually say. What's their meta story? What is the vision they have for themselves? What's the idea behind their story? And how do they see the world? Because the worldview is really animated, you know. And I'm taking a course at the Jung Institute on Jung and immortality. I'm having Saturn going through my eighth, and I'm trying to be productive and use it productively. So I signed up on a course on death and immortality. And last week we were watching the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And one of the students in the class said, I feel like everything's falling apart, like everything's dying around me, you know. And he's an older man, not that old, but, you know, he's kind of like, I just feel like it's just all collapsing. Like everything I've ever believed in has come falling down and crashing down. And I said, well, you know, the planets are all shifting. We're having a once every 700 year thing that hasn't. Huh? 9:30? Okay, cool. Once every 700, 800 year thing that we haven't had in that long. That's a long time. We've had this many planets changing signs simultaneously. That was my sister going to bed, by the way, if you wondered who I was talking to. It must be the Cardinals won because they're going to sleep. Cardinals win? I don't know. Bruce went out the pool away. Okay. Anyway, I'm sitting here in the dining room of my sister's house. How much fun is that? You're with me and my sister and my brother-in-law. But so the energy is very much about the ideas behind it. So his perception was everything's ending. And the teacher kind of said, well, it's all ending, but in the ending there's always a new beginning. And we often forget that there's a new beginning out of every ending, that there's a structure. But this time of year, as the fall ends, the fall comes in and marks the end of the growing season, we really get clear that the growing season is finished, that this cycle, this year of energy and abundance is concluded. And now we're going to harvest what we've done and create what we've built and capture it and, you know, can the beans and can the tomatoes and, you know, figure out what the produce is. Now, back in the old days when we really grew everything we had to eat, you know, we would really be going, oh, wow, do I have enough to get me through winter? We don't really think about those things anymore. But as a species, as an energy being, there is a sadness that comes with the season of fall that lets us focus on what our vision is for ourselves. So your job this week as the sun trines Neptune and as the sun goes then into Scorpio and says, we're really beginning fall in earnest. We're really pushing now into the new energy of fall. Think about the story you tell yourself. And if you tell yourself a negative story, change it. Mercury's in Scorpio. Mercury doesn't speak much, but when he does speak, when he's in Scorpio, he says words that are very important. And he communicates to us in a way that makes us go, wow, that's important, isn't it? And your job this week is to really listen to the words you use. Listen to the words in the people around you. Listen to them say that they can't do stuff. Listen to them say what they can do. Listen to them say, well, I've always wanted to, but. And just kind of notice that. Notice your own stories. Notice where you hold yourself back. Notice where you don't. Give yourself permission to do what you would like to do. Listen to your own self. Make sure that you, as you're listening to yourself, that you're hearing the words that are spoken. And then also listen for the unspoken words, because Scorpio always has all those layers. And then think about if you changed your words, if you changed your story, what would it be? And so I'm taught this course this week on Amelia Island. It was really lovely. It was a lovely group of people that gathered. and was a beginner astrology class. So some people were beginners, never had touched a chart before, and other people knew a bit. And it was very interesting to watch everybody kind of try and process what they were learning with what they thought they could learn or know. And as we were looking at charts and seeing the level of information that's in a chart, some people were like, wow, this is kind of a little wild, you know, especially if they'd never studied a chart before. And it was the story of them that they were looking at, or the story of they were allowed to, they were asked to give two charts that they wanted to look at. So it could be their story, or it could be their story, or somebody that they knew well. And then we looked at two people that were, one was unknown, we had to figure out who it was, and the other one was a known person. And look for their story in their chart. Look for the phrases that they had used or the belief systems they had held, and understand how the chart reflects that. There's nothing wrong with having a belief system or a meta story or a story that is your guiding principle. The only question I would ask you to think about this week is, with Mercury in Scorpio, is it the story you still want to tell yourself? Is it a story you still want to be your guiding story? Do you still like it? Or are you ready to change it? And if you changed it, what would you change it to? And I think that's the takeaway. That was my takeaway from the weekend. As I watched different levels of people learn about astrology and the story that the chart tells, and watched their reactions to it. And some people were like, wow, that makes me feel better. I am scattered, and I've always been scattered. And one person was like, you know, I never really liked being a Virgo rising. I didn't really feel like I was one. I want to be a goddess. And the highest planet in her chart, of course, is Venus. So she is a goddess. And we were all like, we're looking at you going, you are a goddess. What are you talking about? But her vision, you know, with having the Virgo rising description. And then other people, you know, how do they work with that energy? How do they understand who they are? It was very illuminating to see, oh, that's where it comes from. Because once you understand where the energy comes from, you can unhook it. Or you can work it on a different level, meaning that there's a range of behaviors that are possible for any given sign in any given planet in that sign. Pick a different behavior. Go get your keywords, you know. Go look up your words about how to make your moon happy in Pisces. It doesn't have to drink and eat a lot. It can, you know, it can sit in a hot tub for a couple hours. It can have a massage. It can take nice long showers. It can do anything. It can go fishing. It can do Pisces stuff that makes it feel connected, content, related. And the idea is, the more you expand your vision of how your chart can work, the more options you give yourself. So if you're a really old student of astrology and you've been studying your chart for many years, I want you to go get a book of keywords, and I want you to do what one of the students in the class said she did when she started to teach herself astrology. Valerie would say, okay, Sun in Leo, and she would Google Sun in Leo, and she would read all the different descriptions of what Sun in Leo meant and what it looked like. I would go even bigger than that. I would Google what Leo rules and then look at all those words, or look in your keyword book. Go get Mike Mancasey's Midpoints. There's Astrological Thesaurus. Book on rulership, Lee Lehman's book. Get one of the rulership books and go through and remember when you first learned astrology, all the different possibilities that Leo meant. And then do some of those new ones that you haven't done yet. Try some of the ones that you read and you went, oh, goldsmith. Take a gold class. Buy some, you know, get some gold. Like, give yourself permission to expand your vision of your own chart. As the Sun trines Neptune, come up with some new ways of thinking about that aspect. Okay, I have a Mars square my moon. I'm always fighting with women. Well, what else can that be? Well, that can be sex after I eat. Yeah, what else can it be? And come up with different definitions. So as we were practicing looking at a chart, I had them take the sun and then go look at the keywords for it. So one of them was priest. And I was like, no, he's not a priest. And I thought, well, he could have been a priest, you know, but I knew who he was, so I wrote priest question mark. But when they were looking at it with eyes of who is this person, trying to figure out who it was we were looking at, they came up with all these words that I, because I knew his frame, I knew who he was, I knew his vision, they came up with words I hadn't thought of. So do that for yourself this week. Go look up with the sun trine Neptune words you haven't thought of about the planets in your chart, particularly the ones that are difficult, and see if you can come up with some new definitions for yourself that Mercury and Scorpio can hold on to emotionally to help create your life. Because we really create our life with the ideas that we hold. Mercury and Scorpio is asking you to dig a little deeper and to come up with some new ideas. Come up with new visions. Come up with new possibilities. You can totally do this. The British lady has spoken. It's 11:30 here in Ponte Verde Beach, Florida. The moon is rising, and it's time for all of us to go to sleep. So I wish you a good night and a happy week of October 16th, 2011, and to have a good week ahead of you. Take care. Talk to you soon. Bye.